namo bhagavate vasudevaya
om 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 namo bhagavate vasudevaya
Srimad Bhagavatam second canto chapter 5 Purushasya
Purushasya
Mukam
Mukam
Brahma
Brahma
Chakram
Chakram
Etasya
Etasya
Bahava
Bahava
Purva
Purva
Vaishya
Vaishya
Bhagavata
Bhagavata
Adhyam
Adhyam
Shudra
Shudra
Nijayaka
Nijayaka
Purushasya mukham brahma
Purushasya mukham brahma
Chatrametasya bahava
Chatrametasya bahava
Purvavaisya bhagavata
Purvavaisya bhagavata
Adhyam sudra vajayata
Adhyam sudra vajayata
Purushasya
Purushasya
Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Mukham.
Mukham.
Now.
Brahma.
Brahma. Is the Brahmanas.
Is the Brahmanas.
Chakram.
Chakram.
Dweller.
Dweller.
Etasya.
Etasya.
Of him.
Of him.
Bahava.
Bahava.
The arms.
The arms.
Urva.
Urva.
The thighs.
The thighs.
Vaishya.
Vaishya.
Are the mercantile men.
Bhagavata.
Bhagavata. Of the personality of Godhead.
Of the personality of Godhead.
Adhyam.
Adhyam.
From his legs.
From his legs.
Shudra.
Shudra.
The labor class.
Labor class.
Vyajayata.
Vyajayata.
Became manifested.
Became manifested.
Translation. The Brahmanas represent his mouth. The Kshatriyas, his arms. The Vaishyas, his thighs. And the Sudras are born of his legs. Purport. All living beings are stated to be parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. And how they are so is explained in this verse. The four divisions of human society, namely the intelligent class, the Brahmanas, the administrative class, the Kshatriyas, the mercantile class, the Vaishyas, and the laborer class, the Sudras, are all in different parts of the body of the Lord. As such, no one is different from the Lord. The mouth of the body and the legs of the body are non-different constitutionally, but the mouth or the head of the body is qualitatively more important than the legs. At the same time, the mouth, the legs, the arms, and the thighs are all component parts of the body. These limbs of the body of the Lord are meant to serve the complete whole. The mouth is meant for speaking and eating. The arms are meant for protection of the body. The legs are meant for carrying the body. And the waist of the body is meant for maintaining the body. The intelligent class in society, therefore, must speak on behalf of the body, as well as accept pusta to satisfy the hunger of the body. The hunger of the Lord is to accept the fruits of sacrifice. The brahmanas, or the intelligent class, must be very expert in performing such sacrifices, and the subordinate classes must join in such sacrifices. To speak for the Supreme Lord means to glorify the Lord by means of propagating the knowledge of the Lord as it is, broadcasting the factual nature of the Lord and the factual position of all other parts of the whole body. The Brahmanas, therefore, are required to know the Vedas, or the ultimate source of knowledge. Veda means knowledge, and Anta means the end of it. According to Bhagavad Gita, the Lord is the source of everything, Aham Sarvasya Bhavam, and thus the end of all knowledge, Vedanta, is to know the Lord, to know our relationship with Him, and to act according to that relationship only. The parts of the body are related to the body. Similarly, the living being must know his relationship with the Lord. The human life is especially meant for this purpose, namely to know the factual relationship of every living being with the Supreme Lord. Without knowing this relationship, the human life is spoiled. The intelligent class of men, the Brahmanas, are therefore especially responsible for broadcasting this knowledge of our relationship with the Lord and leading the general mass of people to the right path. The administrative class is meant for protecting the living beings so that they can serve this purpose. The mercantile class is meant for producing food grains and distributing them to the complete human society so that the whole population is given a chance to live comfortably and discharge the duties of human life. The mercantile class is also required to give protection to the cows in order to get sufficient milk and milk products, which alone can give the proper health and intelligence to maintain a civilization perfectly meant for knowledge of the ultimate truth. And the laborer class, who are neither intelligent nor powerful, can help by physical services to the other higher classes and thus be benefited by their cooperation. Therefore, the universe is a complete unit in relationship with the Lord. And without this relationship with the Lord, the whole human society is disturbed and is without any peace and prosperity. This is confirmed in the Vedas. Brahmanasya mukhamasi bhavu rajanya chitta. Translation again. The Brahmanas represent his mouth, the Kshatriyas his arms, the Vaishyas his thighs, and the Sudras are born of his legs. Om again, Tirmanandasya, Dhyananjana Shalakaya, Chakshu Vidhanyena, Tasman Sri Vidhanyena Maha. You're hearing a little bit about the universal form of the Lord, which can be seen in terms of the material cosmos, the planetary systems being situated at the head, waist, and feet of the Lord. And you can also see the universal form in terms of the social body of human society. You're getting that vision now, that the Brahmanas are the mouth, the Kshatriyas his arms, the Vaishyas his thighs, and the Sudras are born of his legs. Now, this universal form business is sometimes a little difficult for devotees to understand because the Shastra and Prabhupada's purports explain that the universal form is actually imaginary. It is an authorized meditation for those who are not attracted to the transcendental form of the Lord. For those who have difficulty conceiving that the Supreme Absolute Truth has form, but completely spiritual form. That the Supreme Absolute Truth has personality, but completely transcendental personality. And that although there's form, individuality, and personality, they're all unlimited, yet that same Krishna can appear as the baby of Mother Yasoda, the boyfriend of the gopis, the playmate of the coward boys. Some people can't handle that. They're less intelligent. Therefore, the universal form system of meditation is given to such persons so they can become gradually purified by visualizing the universe as the body of the Lord, by visualizing human society as the body of the Lord. So it is a conception. It is a meditative device authorized by Krishna, given by the Shastra. Now, it gets a bit more complicated. Although it's simply an authorized meditative device, Krishna can appear as universal form just to give further authority to that meditative device. And that is what the Lord does in Bhagavad Gita. In the 11th chapter, suddenly, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna shows the universal form to Arjuna. But it is not an eternal form of the Lord. This is Krishna just giving prestige and backup to the meditative system of the universal form. And also Krishna is showing that anyone who claims to be God, they must be able to do this. But to think that Krishna is the universal form does not glorify Krishna. It is given, universal form, Viratru meditation, is given for less intelligent persons who cannot handle that the Supreme Absolute Truth as a spiritual body that sports as a resin of Vrindavan. They can't handle that. Still, there's a chance for such persons to be purified. Prithvi Maharaj was concerned about this. Therefore, he questioned Sukadeva Goswami appropriately. Tell me how the mind can be fixed so that the dirty things in the heart can be cleansed. So Shukadeva Goswami, earlier in this second canto, is explaining about universal form worship. It is authorized and it is potent. Therefore, in the purports, Prabhupada points out that simply by society adopting worship of the universal form of the Lord, there'll be peace and prosperity. Nevertheless, there's no comparison between worshiping the universal form of the Lord and worshiping Shyam Sundar, Radha Krishna. How can we say that Krishna has abandoned us in this material world? There's so many ways that you can approach Krishna. Krishna's given all the facility. If you don't like my two-handed form playing the flute, then meditate on my universal body. Meditate on the social body. Meditate on me as the society, social body. Every facility is given. But if in our hearts the main problem lingers, that is, how to avoid Shastra, then we cannot make any progress. That's why the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, the Shastra can enrich the Prajapeka. Those who give up the Shastra, why are they doing it? Out of lust. Now you might say, it's not lust, it's just that I want to restrict myself to one path, or many paths. I want to remain open-minded, I want to be broad-minded. Why should I restrict myself simply to what Krishna says? It's not being lusty, it's not being envious, it's not being rebellious, it's simply that I want a broad conception. I want to be broad-minded, open to all things. Implicit in this statement is the conception that Krishna is limiting. Someone who thinks like that does not understand Krishna. As soon as you say Krishna, there can be nothing more unlimited than Krishna. As soon as you say Krishna, there's no question of limitation. You're dealing with all possibilities. You're dealing with everything. So why should you reject the Shastra and say, I want to be more open-minded, there's other ways, there's other paths? No, Krishna says, all persons are following my path in all respects. Everyone's relating to me. Later in the second canto, you read, the Lord explains to Brahma that even when you look and see something and think, that's not Krishna, that's also me. Now how do you get more powerful than that? Even when people think, there's no you, that's also you. The thought, the consciousness that there's no you, that's also you. Who here can say that? Craig, you cannot say that if someone thinks, this is not Craig, that is not Craig. Craig is not here, Craig is not there. That's also you. Now that is Krishna. The energy that sponsors forgetfulness of Krishna and avoidance of Krishna is also Krishna. This is real omnipotence. This is real all power. And even when people think they've gotten away from you, it's still you. That is God. And how is that so? Because everything and anything is Krishna's energy. So you can't get away. Can you find somewhere where there's no matter or no spirit? No. Wherever you go, there'll be those energies. Therefore, wherever you go, you have to deal with Krishna. Part of your travels around the world, have you found a place where there's no matter?
No.
And of course, if you're smart, you'll understand that there's spirit everywhere because you see light everywhere. So because there's matter and spirit everywhere, that means you are dealing with Krishna everywhere, whether you know it or not. But Krishna is not bound up by his energy. Although matter is Krishna's energy, it doesn't mean if you grab the matter, you're grabbing Krishna. That's why you can't worship everything. It's like pantheists. They say, well, everything is God. The rock is God. That tree is God. The sun is God. Krishna deals with that mistake in Bhagavad Gita. Alongside of doing some main purposes. What does Krishna say in the Gita? Maya Chakamidam Sarvam Jagat Yapta Murtina. By me, Maya Chakam, I'm doing it. Maya means I'm the cause. I'm doing it personally. By me, I'm making it so my energies are everywhere. They're spread everywhere. I've done that. So when you see the energy of this world, you are seeing the impersonal expansion of the Supreme Lord. But he has personally done it. It takes a person to be impersonal. Everyone knows when you're angry at somebody, household life, husband and wife, they're not getting along, they don't have to be impersonal towards one another. They give them a cold shoulder, whatever. I don't know all the details, but these things go on. In this way, dissatisfaction is communicated. The spouse gets the understanding that he or she is, in the doghouse, so to speak. So, a person does that, though. A person can turn on the impersonal and turn off the impersonal. Similarly, Krishna says in the Gita, Brahmanavi Pratishtam, I'm the basis of the impersonal. But if you think that beyond the personal is the impersonal, that's nuts. It's nuts not only from the point of logic. Logic is not the ultimate proof, but it is nuts according to Shastra. Krishna says, Aham sarvasya kavalo madhusarvam pravartate. Everything emanates from me. Everything emanating from Krishna means super soul, impersonal, Brahman, Vishnu, everyone, everything emanates from Krishna. So the Lord is giving hints of how he's working in the cosmic manifestation. Maya kamidam sarvam. I'm personally arranging that my energies are everywhere. Jagat avyaktamurtina. This is my unmanifest presence. Unmanifest in that I'm not personally jumping up in front of your eyes and letting you see me. I'm there, but you can't see me. Mastani sarvabhutani nacham teshu vastaja. Although everything is resting on me, everything is not me. You haven't caught me personally. Although you're dealing with my energies, you haven't caught me. This is a chinchabhedavetattva. Inconceivable simultaneous oneness and difference. Everything is Krishna, then again everything is not Krishna. Everything is Krishna in that everything is the energy of the Lord. But if you grab something, you haven't grabbed Krishna. If there's a storm in this material world, if there's some earthquake, it's not that Krishna is affected. His personal existence has its own integrity, its own immutability. But the impersonalists, they have concocted for themselves an extraordinary problem, which actually doesn't exist. They're thinking, if everything is the energy of the Supreme, they like this word, Brahman, like Krishna, Brahman, if everything is the spiritual reality, that means there can't be any original spiritual person. Because we can see, they speculate, that the spiritual reality is spread everywhere. So how can there be a person left? I get this brilliant idea that even if you think there is a Krishna, just look and see what's happened. The energies are distributed everywhere. That means God is distributed everywhere. But that means there's no integrity to the individuality of the Supreme Lord. He's just spread everywhere. It's all him. He is that. It is him. And now we can do what we like. This is impersonal. All based on envy. Why envy? It's just, some people think like that. Actually, underneath is envy. Because the conditioned soul wants to avoid the Supreme Lord. Avoiding the Supreme Lord means avoiding the personal existence of Krishna. Because it is Krishna who personally holds you responsible to follow his directives. But if you can do away with Krishna, then you do away with your personal responsibility, your personal obligations. Everyone knows that sometimes relationships, they get a bit sticky and you want to break out of them. It's quite accepted these days for family relations to break apart. Many books are written, when to call it quits, when to realize your relationship is not working, when to walk away from it, and how to do it. People are quick to analyze these days. That if I'm not getting anything out of the relationship, then I should throw off the shackles and become free again. The relationship is good if it's providing me benefits. But if it's not providing me benefits, then it's a burden and I should throw it off. So then you go to the bookshop and you get the latest books, how to throw off the shackles. How to part with relationships that are creating a negative balance in your bank account of reciprocation. When enough is enough. I was in Perth last month, or a couple weeks ago, and they're having their annual retreat with their congregation and new people. So there was one lady, she's 50 years old, she was friends of another lady, and whose daughter was a devotee. So this friend of a friend, she started chanting a little bit, reading Prabhupada's books. She's a lawyer. So she was there at the yoga retreat weekend, and so I was speaking about the need for purification. She had been chanting a few rounds, and she'd been doing a little reading. Her attraction to Krishna was mainly something curious to do. She's inquisitive. She had never contemplated changing her lifestyle. Lord Chaitanya is very merciful this day and age. Somehow they begin to chant. Somehow they begin to read Prabhupada's books. That's the beginning of spiritual life. We cannot take it very lightly. It's an extraordinary step. So, I was speaking about the need for purification. And so I used that word, and she's a lawyer. She kind of reacted like I had said the death penalty. She looked at me and said, purification? Who wants purification? I'm 50 years old, I finally got rid of my husband, I'm ready to rave. As she said, with complete finality, like, everyone knows this is where it's at. You know, I've done an amazing thing. I've gotten rid of that guy, finally. Now I'm ready for, you know, the open motorway. You know, I'm ready to go. Purification. So I've got to work hard. I've got a few years left. I've got to catch up on all the free enjoyment I've been missing. So this is how people conceive of relationships. That when it's in your favor, it's all right. But when you're getting a negative balance in your account, when the person isn't worth it anymore, then you throw that person off. So this is how impersonalists deal with Krishna. They don't want any personal relationship with Krishna. They don't want to be bound. They want to avoid Krishna. And this is the disease of conditioned souls. How to avoid Krishna. Therefore, impersonalism and material life are very close together. Even when the impersonalism manifests as so-called metaphysical philosophy, still, it's very close, practically one-in-one with conditioned life. And what is the proof? As Lord Brahma says in the 10th canto, yang yang ramanakshava muktamaya triastabhava avashupa buddhaya aluya krishtena paramdhamita patantyada lazita yusvandhya. By performing your concocted impersonal process of so-called liberation, you'll work hard. But because you've ignored the lotus-eyed Lord, Aravinda, you won't get the supreme destination. You'll get an imaginary supreme destination. And even if you do merge into the supreme, you can't stay there. After much hard labor, still, you'll fall down again. Even if you do attain it. So first of all, it's your success is concocted because you probably won't even get that far to the impersonal affluence of the Lord. And secondly, even if you do, you can't stay there. So from all accounts, from all angles, you're simply speculating. You have imagined your liberation. It's not real liberation. Now, what to do about this? The Lord says, Maya Siddhamidam Sabam Jagadvyaptamurtina. Avyaptamurtina, my unmanifest presence in this world. So are we just to glorify the unmanifest presence of the Supreme Lord? How is that so, that everything is the Lord when He's not personally there? That everything is the Lord means everything is His energy. And that's no small thing. Krishna sends his energies everywhere. All the functionings of the cosmos are happening because of the animating energy coming from the Lord. Now, the sun is an easy example to understand how this happens. The sun is coming up now. In a moment, so to speak, the sun appears and sends its heat and light everywhere. And all the plants and vegetation start to respond. The windscreen on your car, the ice melts on it, the frost melts on it, the frost starts to melt in the meadows. All because suddenly the sun has appeared and it's sending heat and light everywhere. And causing so many actions and reactions in nature by the appearance of the sun. It's not the sun itself that's everywhere. You don't have the sun in this room. You have the sunlight coming through. Similarly, Krishna sends his energies everywhere, and those energies cause things to happen. The Vishnu Prana gives the statement, Eka Desha Stutasya Nair. Jyotsna Vistarani Yatha Parashya Pramanashokti Tatayam Makiram Jagat. Just like a fire, although situated in one place, Eka Desha. Still, that Agni, that fire, can send heat and light everywhere. Similarly, the Supreme Lord, situated in his abode, can send his energies everywhere. And then things happen. You yourself have experienced how, through your limited energies, you can cause things to happen. You can just be on the phone or on email, and you can make things happen so many places. One unfortunate consequence of that is there's some rumor or negative talk going on email, then one person can simply sending messages cause havoc everywhere. That is an example of a person being situated in one place, yet through energies causing things to happen. So human beings have that limited potential, but Krishna has unlimited potential to do that. So he's explaining that in Bhagavad Gita. Mayasramidam sarvam jagavyakta murtina. By me, I'm doing it. It's me that's causing all this spreading of energies. And the energies are making things happen. It's still me. Everything is dependent on me, meaning everything's dependent on my energies. But I'm not personally there. What does that mean when Krishna says, I'm not personally there? It means the situation is not resting on you personally. Krishna is not laboring personally to carry on and maintain the material world. It's done by his energies. It's not bearing on Krishna. What else does it mean? Vasahamkeshubastita. That means that actually I am there, but because you're not a devotee, you can't see me. So both ways. Krishna's giving you very deep understanding. I'm not there because the cosmos doesn't rest on me. I've got better things to do. I'm playing with the cowherd boys. I'm joking with the gopis. I'm pleasing Mother Yasoda and Vrindavan. I've got better things to do than bear the cosmos. Krishna's saying, I've got better things to do than maintain the cosmos or annihilate universes. So it's not directly impinging upon me. The cosmic manifestation is not directly resting on me. That's why in the next verse the Lord says, Pashame Yoga Maestra, just see my mystic potency. Although it's all resting on me, I'm not there. I'm not part of the cosmos. I'm the source of the cosmos, but I'm not dissipated in it. I don't lose myself in the cosmos. Just see my mystic potency. Why is it mystic potency? What has Krishna done? You don't want to see him. So he said, okay, just see my material energy. That's all you're going to see of me. And it's also mystic potency because Krishna maintains his aloofness for the cosmos, even though the cosmos is his energy. It doesn't affect Krishna's personal pastimes. You might want to do something for your own enjoyment, but if you've got to go to work, that ends all the enjoyment. You have to pay rent. Even here, thank you, Prashant. You have to pay rent. So many things. So, that means you have to figure out how to get the money. And when you're endeavoring to get the money, generally speaking, you have to sacrifice. You'd rather goof off, or you'd rather sleep, or even you'd rather chant all day and read Shastra, but no, if you have a family, you have to endeavor in some way to support. And while you're working, earning wage, you cannot be doing other things. Krishna is not like that. That's the point he's making in Bhagavad Gita. He's telling you, don't bind me in this material cosmos. It is my energy, but look, I've got better things to do. I don't deal with it directly. This is a great science of God, how Krishna does it. He expands Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Chiradakshaya Vishnu, all these expansions. And even they don't deal directly. Brahma, he's the creative agent. So many Prajapatis, demigods. What is Mahavishnu doing? He's sleeping, resting on the cause of ocean. And what is he doing while resting on the cause of ocean? Breathing out universes. This is how casual it is for Krishna. Mahavishnu is just laying down, floating on top of the waves. Now you try to do that. You go out to nearby beach or Pita and try to float on the waves and see what happens to you. See what you can do while you're floating on waves. You can't even do the slightest task while floating on the waves. If you can stay up above the waves, which is doubtful. But what does Mahavishnu do while floating? Unlimited universes come out of his pores, of his skin. That's how casual it is for the Lord. It's not Krishna directly. It's an expansion of Krishna. Yet it's done so casually. While sleeping, resting, out come the universes. The time is one breath. And then when the Lord breathes in, that's it for the cosmos. That's it for all the unlimited universes. Breathing them out, breathing them in. And then that Lord expands into Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And what is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu doing? Is he working? No, he's at the bottom of every universe. And what is he doing? Once again, lying on the water. This is God. Then there's Super Soul, Shiradakshaya Vishnu. He's in everyone's heart. But just because he's in everyone's heart, that doesn't mean he's also working. No. Wherever the Lord is, his associates are there. So in your heart, it's not that Shiradakshaya Vishnu is alone. You are there. The Lord is always enjoying. Someone asked Prabhupada once, the Lord in the heart, he's in every atom. Is he alone? So Prabhupada explained, the Lord is never alone. Wherever the Lord is, his associates are there, because to have associates means to enjoy. How can you enjoy without associates? In any situation, Krishna is enjoying. Kamsa's advisors, they couldn't understand this point. They were urging Kamsa, prepare, get ready to kill Vishnu. You don't have to worry. Make havoc everywhere. Kill babies. Plunder the Brahmanas. Destroy Indian culture. Don't worry about the demigods. Why? Let's look at the situation of the leaders of the demigods. What is Brahma doing? He's just lost in meditation. He can't function. What about Shiva? Shiva, he's just performing austerities. Don't worry about him. He won't bother us. And Vishnu, never worry about Vishnu. He's the super soul, you know, trapped in everybody's heart. He can't come out. So the deacons, they had to all figure out the whole, you know, they had all the metaphysical knowledge. They had to understand. And what's the result? Hamza, don't worry. Destroy, plunder, cause problems. It'll be alright. Although the Lord is in the heart, the Lord is not bound up by, the Lord is not touched by material circumstances. So Krishna says, see my mystic potency. Although everything is my energy, I'm not there personally. Why am I not there? Because you don't want to see me, so I'm not going to be there for you. That's how mystical I am. I don't have to work. I don't have to carry the universe. I don't have to maintain directly. I don't raise a sweat. And furthermore, since you don't want me around, I'm going to make it so that I'm not around, even though I am. This is a mystery, folks. So therefore, you can travel around the world and be lost in looking at matter and never think, where is Krishna? You can see spirit everywhere because only by the animation from spirit can matter do something. Still, you'll not think of Krishna. You'll simply think, my senses, my mind, what are my feelings, what are my thoughts? This is the curse of being under the influence of Christianity. Your mind is filled with temporary thoughts and emotions and no Krishna conscious content. Very hellish. This knowledge of the social body of the Lord is meant to give you some idea of how society should function. As Prabhupada writes here, the intelligent class in society, therefore, must speak on behalf of the body as well as accept foodstuff to satisfy the hunger of the body. The hunger of the Lord is to accept the fruits of sacrifice. The brahmanas, or the intelligent class, must be very expert in performing such sacrifices, and the subordinate classes must join in such sacrifices. So this is why we say Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, the movement for inducing everyone to join in sacrifice to the Supreme Lord. That is what Lord Chaitanya desires to happen. And those who are actually intelligent, their job is to be expert in engaging everyone else in sacrifice to Vishnu. So the Sankirtan movement means engaging everyone in the mass glorification of Krishna, the mass sacrifice to Krishna. Because to glorify means sacrifice. You have to give up your energy to glorify. You have to give up your time, your concentration. And certainly, your resources should be engaged in the service of the Lord. So there has to be a class of persons dedicated to that purpose, arranging for the mass glorification, the mass sacrifice for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The more you act according to Lord Chaitanya's purpose, the more you can see the world as it is, how it's meant for Krishna's pleasure. Just like here in New Zealand, for so many years, the book distributors thought, oh, the people, they only will take a small book or a medium-sized book, and they give $5, that's nice, and we don't even need to take out the hardcover books because, you know, it's only for that rare person, they specially request it, we'll take their address and we'll try to send them the book in the post or come visit them in their homes. But the people just don't have the ability to pay a lot for books, maybe in other countries, but not here. So then what happened? During the May Marathon, the cheaper books suddenly disappeared. I don't know if it was a plot or not, or what that would be. And so the devotees had to go around with hardcover books. And what did they find out? Suddenly, people are taking hardcover books. Suddenly, they want to give $10 for a hardcover Bhagavatam. Some are giving $20, $25 for a hardcover Gita. Suddenly, the ability developed. Because the devotees increased their dedication, Lord Chaitanya said, all right, let things expand. You think you know everything? Take a look at this. This is what is enlivening about organizing sacrifice for the Supreme Lord. Krishna already has everything, but the Lord likes to see how dedicated the servitors are in arranging for his pleasure. Just when you think, oh, it can't go on, we've reached the limit, or this is the amount of service that people can do, if you keep trying, then Lord Chaitanya says, I'll show you how the limits to the ocean of transcendental bliss are always increasing. You're a Rupa Duga. You're following Rupa Goswami. What is the job of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, headed by Rupa Goswami? Anandam Bhutipad and Ayurveda. They're always working to increase the limits of the ocean of transcendental bliss. So, In this case, the same defendant wouldn't take a lot of people that only take, you know, a smaller book. They can never take these gigantic hardcover books. People just don't have that kind of money. Nothing. Now they're finding out. Yes, the people are taking not only one hardcover book, but they're taking stacks of them. Why is this happening? There's no material explanation. The devotee's confidence in Lord Caitanya is increasing. And certainly Lord Caitanya is inspiring the people from within their hearts. You take more books. You take more books. So this way, the flood of love of God actually exists. And it's very enlivening for a devotee to realize it's not just poetry, the ocean of love of God, universally flooded. Sometimes, you know, you might think, these are poetic statements. Just like when Prabhupada came overseas from India to distribute Krishna consciousness in the Western world. Some of his godfathers admitted that before that, we thought that when in the Chaitanya Bhagavat is stated that in every town and village, the glories of the Lord will be heard. They said, we thought this was a poetic statement. Now they're actually seeing it, that we actually saw that it was not poetic, it was not allegorical, metaphorical. It was actually meant to happen. Similarly, sometimes we think, when we read the seventh chapter of Adi Leela, the universe is already flooded. The more the Panchatattva dance, the more the waves of love of God spread everywhere. Very wonderful poetry is really enthusing to ocean ecstasy. It is a fact. How are we going to see that as a fact? By participating in arranging sacrifice for the people, you get to see. And Krishna will show you again and again. You thought there's a material limit. Now just see what I'm causing to happen because you are my faithful devotee. I'll show you. This is the ecstasy for a devotee, to see how the devotee is doing his tiny bit to arrange sacrifice for the Lord. And the devotee thinks, I've expended all my resources. I'm doing as best I can. Lord Caitanya says, there's so much more that can happen. Watch this. And that inspires the devotee to do even more. So it's a reciprocation, constant competition between the Lord and the devotee. Who can do more? Of course, when the competition reaches the level of Srimati Radharani, then Krishna is defeated. That's why Radharani is called Vrindavaneshwari, the queen of Vrindavan. She wins the competition. But then Krishna says, alright, you won with your pure love. I'll come, though, as Lord Caitanya in your mood, and I'll taste what you're tasting. Any questions?
And often we see devotees as they follow the process of impersonal qualities and confidence sets. And as a club room, ourselves or when they have dealings with each other in a personal way. And I was just wondering, is that impersonal behavior very deep and it's getting up the worship for us to be and deal with, or so that we are making some mistakes in the process?
All of the above. You see, the mistakes that devotees made when they were younger, and the older Prabhupada disciples, they know about it. You can't use Krishna as an excuse for not being sensitive and attentive to devotees. It's not if you stop preaching, it's not if you stop distributing books, it's not if you stop sacrificing for Krishna. But you have to understand that to do that properly, you have to be attentive to devotees. You can't, like, overlook the devotee in your rush to serve Krishna. Now, certainly, when we were all younger, you can understand youthful enthusiasm, you know. But as the devotee becomes more mature, he understands how to create a pleasing sacrifice for the Lord. Just like when you're doing a fire yajna, you want nice as possible yajna, nice incense, nice fruits, a very nice artistic presentation for the pleasure of the Lord. Similarly, we want to make sure that the younger generation can benefit from the growing pains of the older devotees. It's not easy though. I know a lot of young devotees, you try to plant a guru. We, this was something we would have done 15 years ago. Believe me, it doesn't work. But, you know, they don't want to hear all the time, you know. I know, I understand what to do. I don't, you don't know, this is a special situation. So, it takes work how to treat devotees properly. It's very easy to brush someone off. Especially our heads filled with idealism. I've got a plan, how to serve Krishna. And then we kind of trample on everybody's heads in order to get the plan done, because it's for the holy purpose. All these things take bhakti. The ability does come, though, if you simply try to surrender to Krishna. You will learn. I was just reading this morning in Australia when the girl was asking Prabhupada, how do you be tactful in talking about Krishna to someone without compromising? How to make your speech tactful without being compromising? So what was Prabhupada's answer? The supreme tact is to surrender to Krishna. If you surrender to Krishna, gradually from within, the Lord will teach you how to speak. And it was interesting. He just went right to the point. You worry about surrendering to Krishna. Once you've got that done, everything clicks from there. The supreme tact is to surrender to Krishna. And then, when you surrender to Krishna, the Lord from within the heart will instruct you. Now, I know what everyone might say. Yeah, but what about those of us, you know, we haven't surrendered. We like to, but it's just not happening. And what about us? Nevertheless, the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadam, Bridget, Mame, surrender to me. So, that is the actual solution. It doesn't mean we decry various lesser subordinate ways of dealing with things. But still, we have to say, because that is Lord Caitanya's instruction, go everywhere and tell people surrender to Krishna. And that is the actual solution. That is very interesting to see how problems are trying to go. And he was talking to a guest too, wasn't even like one of the major devils. Supreme tact is surrender to Krishna. Now sometimes it's said, Prabhupada had to speak like that because he was an old man and he was trying to get this movement going before he left. So therefore he always had that sense of urgency. But we don't have to be so fired up now because things are established. You read that one before? Now, have you ever studied Philobhaktisiddhanta Charitamrita? You'll find the same thing, the same sense of urgency. What was Philobhaktisiddhanta Charitamrita doing in India? He had four presses. He had even daily newspapers. He had four or five periodicals, from daily to weekly, like that. So, Prabhupada simply gave us the same thing, the mission of Lord Caitanya Sampradaya. So the Bhaktisiddhanta Sadhguru was very urgent. Prabhupada was very urgent. Prahlada Maharaj is urgent. What did Prahlada Maharaj say to his demoniac schoolmates during lunch break? Mates, you're young, you've got a long time ahead. Yeah. Think a little bit about spiritual life, and gradually when you're older, you'll be able to get into it. No. Koma, Achara, Dharma, Bhagavad Dharma. From the very beginning of life, as soon as you realize the importance, practice Bhagavad Dharma. That's just the way it is. And you know what happens when we give up the sense of urgency. You know what we Westerners like to do. We lose the sense of gravity. No, I look very hard. Very far in the Western world. We just look fun in the sun, and we'll have fun in the sun, fun in the shade. Everywhere, we'll have our own individual delights. As soon as we give up our sense of urgency, that's what happens. And obviously, Prabhupada knew that. Life is short everywhere, not simply in the West. Life is short in India, too. At least in India, you still have some remnants of supportive culture. But still, life is short there. And what about here? You have short life and no supportive culture. You don't have the Ganges River nearby to, you know, go, you know, take a bath and purify your mind a bit. Everywhere you look, you see the most hellish sights for your eyes. Therefore, in this time, we should be very impressed with the need for urgency. Any other questions? Can't see.
I have some questions, just a comment about what you said about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I was reading how that when he went out on this preaching, it was, people described it as they've never seen before someone preaching with such force and enthusiasm and drive. He was very much driven.
He was so driven that even some of his not-so-advanced disciples, they didn't want to bring people to him for preaching. Kumaras was chopping. He's a nice person, his first very prestigious, let's not bring him to Kumaras. We don't want to falsely imitate, but we have to follow humbly in our measure. Yes? The less intelligent I meant is according to the Vedic standard. That is within the Vedic house, within the house of Veda to meditate on Prabhu. Less intelligent as compared to those who can meditate on Krishna. But what you have today doesn't fit into human society. You don't have Brahmanas first class, material point of view, Kshatriya second class, Vaishya third class, Shudra fourth class. What is today? Fifth class and less functional. Not within the Vedic system at all. So now I describe the universal form as, well, the less intelligent, that meant less intelligent within the house of Veda. Not fortunate enough to meditate directly on Krishna, but still it's within the house of the Veda, it's authorized meditation. Just like demigod worship is authorized. Although Krishna says, the less intelligent do it. But these days, you don't have anything within the house of Veda. You don't have Sudra, you have less than Sudra. Kalo Sudra Sambhava. Everyone is born in Kali Yuga. Low status. Everyone. Therefore, what you're seeing is the miracle of Lord Chaitanya. And it is the Lord's prediction that miracle will increase. Therefore, we're not artificial to be in an increased mode. That's just the way it is. The flood of love of God is expanding. The more the Panchatattva dance, the more the waves of love of God increase. And the Panchatattva are always dancing. Yes.
What are the similarities between lust and envy?
Envy means you have what I want. You have something I'm lusting over. But actually amongst devotees, they should not, of course, envy one another, but when you envy another devotee, it's an indirect sign of appreciation. Oh, you're so advanced. I wish I could be advanced. If you can actually understand envy in that way among the devotees, then you start to see what's going on. A devotee thinks, oh, you're doing so much more than I could do. I wish I could do it, but you are doing it. That glorification and good wishes for another devotee is auspicious for you. In the material world, it's not like that. When you glorify someone else, you've lost. You feel like, you know, because there's always a shortage of resources in society. So if they glorify you, how do they glorify me? But in the spiritual life, there's no limit to glorification. Generally, what you'll find is devotees, they're thinking, oh, you're doing so nicely, you're so Krishna conscious. But then you're thinking, oh, they're doing so nicely, they're so Krishna conscious. I'm having difficulty, but they're doing so nicely. That's actually what's going on. Almost a mature devotee. You're thinking, look at that person. So sincere. But that person's thinking, look at you. So sincere. Amongst mature devotees, that's what's going on. So you can easily deal with envy amongst devotees by understanding it's an indirect sign of appreciation. That's how Prabhupada explained it. In the spiritual world, there's envy, but it's purely for Krishna's pleasure. Sometimes the gopis, they get envious. Oh, that one's with Krishna too long. But they're doing that to get Krishna pleasure. Krishna likes it when the gopis are having a spat over him. It's all for his enjoyment. They know that. In the material world, you can see that. Perverted reflection, of course. A man likes women to fight over him. Any man here have an experience of women fighting over him? So you felt good about it, right? In your gentle stage, right? Just see her fighting over the top. You call up your mates. They're really having to go over me. Can you believe it, mates? Alright? You know. That's perverted reflection of the spiritual world. Where it's pure, it's done for Krishna's pleasure. Alright? All glories to Prabhupada.